Hello, everyone, and welcome to Poptail Weekly for December 8th, 2021. It is the last Poptail Weekly before Christmas break for me. Of course, obviously, we all celebrate different holidays. I tend to celebrate Christmas, thus my emphasis on Christmas. But let me say, no matter what holiday you celebrate, I want to wish you a happy holiday. But this will be the last Poptail Weekly before I go on break for a few weeks to celebrate the holidays with family and friends and loved ones. So today we are going to be looking at Fabella. More specifically, we're going to be looking at the Fabella Game Jam. And for those that missed out, we had a game jam. People could create interactive games using the Fabella engine. And the top three winners won some really cool prizes. And one of the extra bonus prizes, which I hope is kind of like a prize, was to get their game played on Poptail Weekly. So that is what we're going to do. Before we get to that, though, I do want to thank all of you who have supported the show through this year. Hopefully we'll be doing a retrospective episode before the end of the year. It kind of depends on what's going on with me and everything like that. I may be fortunate enough to travel for New Year's. So I may not see you guys until after New Year's, but here's hoping that I do, and maybe we'll do our retrospective slightly late. But anyways, we're going to take a look at these games. I do want to let you guys know we are on social media. We are Poptail Social on Twitter. We are also Poptail on Facebook, and we'd love to have you follow us. There is also a Discord server. I don't know if it's been linked on poptail.com yet. Hopefully that will be something that is done soon, and we can talk more about soon. Hey, Kevin, how's it going? Kevin, of course, is one of the winners. Kevin's game won second place, and I'm looking forward to playing that. It was a fun little game. If you guys missed it, check out the VoiceBark episode that we did on Saturday. We actually judged all the games and crowned our champions. And I gotta say, I have in my possession my gift from Wanderword for being a judge, and I'm hoping just for being a fantastic human being. This is my Echo Dot 4th Gen. So this guy showed up in my mail today, and I'm excited. I don't know where to put him yet in the house, but somewhere. Might put him downstairs, actually. I think it's going to be a really nice place for him. It's a nice little dot. It's different from the third gen. Instead of being a hockey puck, it is more spherical. So instead of hitting it with a stick, you can kick it. Although I really wouldn't recommend that. So maybe that's not a good idea. But yeah, so that is really awesome. I want to thank Wanderword and Poptail for getting me an Echo Dot. Always appreciative of that. Today, though, our games will not be played on the Echo. We'll be playing them in a browser. And so we're going to try something new. I'm actually going to be sharing my screen, which I already am expecting it to be a disaster. I have not really had a chance to test this other than with myself. So I'm really hoping I don't screw this up. Let me okay, have a message. Okay, we have things have been a little crazy today, so I'm kind of, normally I wouldn't be focusing on my phone because, you know, that's bad to do, but I have to this time, so I'm just making sure everything's okay. So we are going to start with Hit and Run. And I should really read the descriptions of these. So let me do that. Let me read that first. Okay. Sorry, as you guys can tell, I'm really prepared. Okay. Hit and Run is an interactive game story about a teenager who witnesses a car hitting a boy and driving off. Using deep role-playing mechanics such as choice of intellect, strength, and intuition, skill points are assigned, combined with chance using old-school RPG elements like dice rolls. Your skills will determine if you pass the checkpoints you choose. Chapter 1 explores the beginning stages of the game and an inciting incident that changes the life of an ordinary teen. Humor and a poetic, reflective narrative drive the story. All dialogue has been recorded along with music and sound effects. Okay. So, I would say that is a good description. And if you caught my review, I was really big on this game. I loved this thing. I was very happy with it. I thought that they did an amazing job. I think a lot of other people did too, which is why it was number one. So let me share my screen with you. Chrome. So we're going to share this. No, I don't want to share the audio because I am going to send the audio through the mixer. All right, and there you go. You guys should hopefully be seeing me plus the Fabella web player. I don't know how much visuals there are, but I am going to share them so that you have them because why not? Some games I know, for example, the third place game has some pictures, which we'll talk about when we get there. But for right now, let's check this out. So one of the things that these games allow for is microphone input. To save myself some headaches and hassles, I'm going to be doing the keyboard input just because it is an option and I can choose things and I can talk to you guys and kind of, you know, not have to worry about the game picking up my spurious dialogue. So here we go. This is Hit and Run Chapter 1.
Hit and Run, Chapter 1. Only 17, still a boy. You had much to learn, room to grow. Yet you came into this world bursting with light. Some things came natural to you, and others did not. Intuition gives you emotional maturity, street smarts, and an ability to hear and sense things that are not tangible to all. Strength gives you raw physical power to move objects and force your way through the material world. Intellect gives you common sense, cultural knowledge, and book smarts. When you come across an objective, there will often be a checkpoint where there will be a dice roll. Whatever you roll, plus your skill points, will determine if you pass the checkpoint or not.
All right.
Would you like your character to be proficient in intuition, strength, or intellect?
I'm going to go with intellect.
Would you like your character to have more strength or intuition?
I'm going to say intuition.
Your largest muscle is your brain, followed by your third eye. But everyone calls you noodle arms. Is this your fate?
Yes.
Your intellect is 5, your intuition is 3, and your strength is 1.
Ooh.
It was a warm spring day in the city. Flowers in bloom, trees full. A green hue them filtered the color of the sidewalk. It was Sunday, and I was making my way to the basketball court to meet up with Joey. My footsteps hit the pavement in sync with the bass from my headphones as funk guitar blasted me forward through the cosmos. Bikes whistled by, cars cruised with their windows down. My family was laying out in the middle of the city park having a picnic. It reminded me of what once was. Seems like forever ago. Another world. I decided to take a shortcut under the highway. All became quiet. No one around, just me and a kid in front of me, bopping to some jams, dribbling a ball. Must be on his way to the courts.
Love the sounds. I think I've said this, but I love that there are sounds for everything that's going on.
Oh. I couldn't tell if the guitar in my headphones was getting louder, or if the screeching was coming from the streets. All of a sudden, a vintage 70s Cadillac peeled around the corner, balancing on 2 wheels. It lost control, and before he could look up,
ooh,
thud. the most hollow sound I've ever heard. The clamoring of all void. A sound so deep, so intrusive, there was no sound at all. He laid there, his upper body propped up on the brick wall, his legs limp on the concrete. He couldn't have been older than 13. I walked up to him. Cadillac spun its wheels off the curb and took off. I couldn't get more than a G on the license plate, but I made out an emblem engraved on the bumper. Something seemed so familiar and new all at once. A globe-like symbol with four vertical lines that curved out, similar to the kid's ball that was bouncing ghostly about. I got closer to the boy, his jet-black curly hair now sticky where it met his mouth, blood flowing from it like a fountain sputtering. I took out my earbuds and noticed his were still in his ears. I knelt down on the ground, mesmerized by this pale mortal, this human who was just alive, walking right in front of me not a minute ago. I could hear his music still pumping, hoping it was giving him life. I checked his pulse. He was still going. He was there, somewhere. I reached for my phone to call 911, but realized I dropped it during the crash. There it was behind me, the screen shattered next to the broken glass from a headlight. There was no one around. No one at all. No one witnessed this but me. I had to get him to a hospital, and fast.
Do you want to try to pick up the boy and carry him to the subway around the corner? This will be the fastest way to the hospital. Or you can try to find someone and ask to borrow their phone to call 911.
Well, I'm probably going to have to ask somebody, because remember, I'm new to alarms.
There was a taxi flying by, but it was already passing me. I needed to find someone to help. There was a set of stairs leading above ground to the main road. I ran as fast as I could, losing my breath. I had to stop halfway up, wasting precious moments. I climbed to the top, turning my head on a swivel, looking for someone, anyone. There was a man in a long black trench coat and a fedora walking swiftly to my right, and a woman sitting on the ledge, smoking a joint to my left. Should I ask the man or the woman for help?
Well, I'm going to ask the woman.
My intuition told me this woman was one of the people, one to the flow of life, willing to lend a hand. The softness of her face, the way her eyebrows lifted, and, well, yeah, the fat J she was puffing. I walked over towards her, and as if she could sense something was wrong already, she stood up and approached me.
Hey, hon. You all right? You need some help?
She ran down with me under the overpass, grabbing the wobbly handrails to maintain her balance as she called 911. It took several minutes that felt like hours for them to come. The boy lay motionless, and I worried for his life. Had I taken too long? I got into the ambulance, and Janet waved goodbye, offering me a warm smile of concern. In that moment, I saw her. I did not know her, but I knew everything she contained. She herself was everything. Thank you. I arrived at the hospital as they carried the boy inside. I felt empty. I was nervous. I paced around a little and took a seat in the hallway. The fluorescent lights were hot on my neck. The stale smell of cleaning products mixed with old bedding swirled around my nostrils. I sat alone as the hospital notified the boy's parents. I felt like I needed to wait, to pass him off, like a baton in a race. I had to carry this one for now. I couldn't just leave him to be all alone. After an hour, I asked the nurse how he was doing. Breathing, but barely, she replied. I took his seat and did the same. I didn't know what I was going to do next, or how I was supposed to feel after this. But I knew one thing. I was going to find who made that hit and run.
End of chapter 1.
Ooh. So that was... So we got... I don't know if we have any... Do we have any credits? So that was Hit and Run Chapter 1, and that was the winner of the Fabella Game Jam. So they won a lot of good stuff. I believe they won $500 cash and a year of Fabella and I believe an Echo Dot. So there you go. So that was Hit and Run. So let's bounce over to our next game in just a moment. Any comments? I will check really quick. Do you guys have any comments on Hit and Run? You can drop them in on YouTube here or on Twitter. Amazing story, says Kevin. I really like it. I've got to be honest with you. I thought it was cool. I mean, it was such a neat thing to do a story about. Like, and not only was it a neat story, but it sets it so well for a second chapter. And it, so you play a game sometimes and the game ends and you're like, okay, that's cool. Like, game's over, moving on. But that's one of those games where you're just like, no, you're not done. I want more of the story. I want to see where this goes. So, I mean, I think it was a well-deserved win. So I am, you know, I have no complaints. So now we move on to A Magical Day. Kevin, I think you know this one. Yep. Oh, so this is Kevin Evans and Cole. He's my dog. More moral support than story development. This interactive fiction takes you through a day in the life of a prodigy magician. You will use various spells and enchantments as you make progress through your day. So, very, you know, like, simple description. But this one actually has a lot of cool stuff going for it. And is actually kind of an involved little story. And I remember, I think Kevin was talking about how he originally envisioned something different, and it kind of grew and changed from that into what we have now. But, yeah, well done with the sound of the atmosphere. The atmosphere really draws you in, and I had said to, I think I said to Nick, I had texted him earlier in the weekend, I said, you know, this Hit and Run really embodies what Wanderword is doing with their games, with things like Escape 63rd and Wallace, and even Starfinder. Like, I mean, obviously we have custodial ownership of it, but, like, you know, with games like that, what they had done with it, I felt like that really embodied the sort of Wanderword spirit. Trenton says that felt very real, you know, and it did, it does. It feels very real. It's not, there's no fantasy, like it feels real. And you kind of get the emotions from that. Kevin says, I've heard of it. Yeah, I would think that you have. All right, so let's go over to... All right, so this should bring up A Magical Day. Let me know if you guys should see it up there. And there's an image. It says logo image. I also don't know if Fabella is going to allow for alt tagging of images. I hope it will. So here we go. This is A Magical Day by Kevin Evans and Cole. Hey, Kevin, how's Cole doing, by the way? I know he had to visit the doctor. How's he feeling? I know that he had a little body work done, as it were. I hope he's feeling good, man.
Welcome to A Magical Day, an interactive story developed and written by me, Kevin. Thank you for listening and experiencing this short adventure. I welcome any and all feedback and look forward to expanding and growing this story. You are dreaming, remembering your first day at the Magician Academy a few years ago.
Oh, back in
action.
You
see yourself reviewing the various spells and incantations to bend elements and power to your will. You see yourself practicing your skill to slow time and give yourself extraordinary abilities. Your day is about to begin.
Oh no!
Your alarm clock goes off. Do you? 1. use telekinesis to turn off the alarm. Or 2. Slap the button with your hand to turn off the alarm. You focus on your alarm clock. You see it in perfect detail. The off button is highlighted in your mind as you force your will to push the button. Unfortunately, you may have underestimated your power. You push the button so hard that it cracked the plastic frame of the clock. You remember your instructors explaining that telekinesis can be very finicky. Something to keep in mind. As you rub the sleep from your eyes, your stomach rumbles. You head to the kitchen and sit at the table. What do you decide to have for breakfast? 1. Toast with butter. Or 2. Eggs with bacon.
Ooh, I want some toast.
You head to the kitchen for some toast with butter. As you plug in your toaster, you realize that it isn't working. Not a problem for you. You simply snap your fingers. And with a small effort of will, a small flame appears in your palm. You toast your bread and sit down to enjoy breakfast. As you eat, you look out on the town below from your apartment balcony. You see traffic backed up and remember that road construction is going to cause you a delay unless you come up with a different solution to get to the academy. What do you decide to do? 1. Use a camouflage spell and control the wind to allow you to fly to school. Or 2. Focus your will into stamina that will allow you to run without getting tired or sweaty.
Oh, I like that one. We're doing
that one. Creating stamina out of pure will was one of the first things they taught you at the academy. Every time you do it, you enjoy the method and the feeling of using your abilities. You hold your hands out in front of you, palms facing one another. You build a ball of solid pulsing will in front of you between your hands. It shimmers and glows with a rainbow light. You admire your handiwork before guiding the orb towards your chest. It slowly absorbs into your body and you feel the power and energy coursing through your body. As you take the first step out the door, you can tell how much you are going to enjoy this. The feeling of pushing yourself and not feeling tired is strange, but exhilarating. You enter the academy, and head towards your locker. You see a group of classmates and students gathered around a bulletin board. As you get closer, you are able to tell that a few instructors are looking for research assistance for a special project. In big bold letters, there is a heading that says an evaluation of your magical skill will be conducted in order to be considered. Do you want to try out for the position? 1. Yes,
yeah,
try
I think
out.
I do.
Or 2. No, I'm not interested.
Why not?
As you put your name on the sign-up list on the bulletin board, you watch the ink fade into the document and disappear. You know what's coming next. You feel a slight vibration in your stomach as you are teleported to a private classroom. You find yourself in front of 3 professors and Principal Evans of the academy. They are very welcoming and friendly, but you get the feeling this is not a typical meeting. Principal Evans stands up and says that they were hoping you would sign up. He says they have been assessing your abilities from your first day and you are truly a prodigy. Each of the professors nod in agreement. He continues to tell you that there is a problem in the magical world that has been brought to their attention. Principal Evans motions to one of the professors who stands and begins to tell a story that has been passed down for hundreds of years. Thousands of years ago, in the northern parts of Ireland, ancient creatures known as the Fae lived in peace with humans, both magically oriented and the normal population. Another professor then says, each would leave gifts for one another, provide shelter if needed, and just generally make life easier for one another. The third professor stands and then says, then, they just suddenly disappeared. No warning, no notice. Nothing. Just gone. Until now. And as he says that, a small flickering light appears behind him. You see a beautiful humanoid creature gently floating in mid-air. She asks for your assistance rescuing her people. Do you help? 1. Absolutely. Or 2. Not right now.
I kind of feel like this is going to be like a Super Mario, Super Paper Mario thing. Where if I say not right now, I get a game over. So I'm going to say absolutely.
The face speaks and says, My name is Kalmaris, and I have been a captive of the Dralog, along with the rest of my people for so many years. We have been taken as slaves due to our potent magical abilities. We are being forced to work in terrible conditions mining gemstones and elements from the ground, the waters, and the clouds. She pauses and looks you in the eyes. The Dralog are preparing to take over this plane of existence. They are preparing an army with a weapon unlike anything I've ever seen. Only one thing scares them. The mention of your name. There must be something about you.
What?
As you take all of this in, faded memories of an elderly couple suddenly become clear. Something Kalmari says, for some reason removes a haze from your mind. The elderly couple were druids familiar with this threat. They gave you a magical tattoo on your inner left wrist and then used magic to hide it. You never even knew you had it, but can clearly see it in your mind's eye. You hear the old woman's voice say, "Focus your will. Touch the tattoo to find us." You explain all of this to the audience in front of you. Do you focus your will and touch the tattoo? 1. Yes, you know you need to help. Or 2. No, even though you can use magic, this is too weird for you.
Of course I help.
You know that you need to help. The memories in your mind are clear. You can feel this is your destiny. You focus your will and gently press your index and middle fingers of your right hand onto your left wrist. Suddenly, a flash of golden light illuminates the room. It's so bright that everyone except Kalmari shields their eyes. When the light fades, you see two people in white robes with hoods and staves standing calmly in front of you. A few hours later, and everyone is brought up to speed. It turns out these two strangers are ancient druids. They are
druids.
Your family. They foresaw this threat a very long time ago and did all they could to set things into motion that would allow for their bloodline to be victorious against this enemy. You take a deep breath. It's time to prepare yourself for this monumental task. You feel confident in your abilities, but to put them to this kind of test is new. You always wished you could have helped those less fortunate than you. Now is your time to help. The plan is to first liberate as many of the Fae as possible. Kalmaris was imprisoned in a cloud fortress, but heard that those in the underground mines had it much worse and they are where they put the strongest Fae. She believes that should be the first target. The professors and Principal Evans believe the first liberation effort should take place in the cloud fortress since Kalmaris is most familiar with the layout and other Fae there. Time is of the essence and you will only be able to go to one location.
Oh jeez.
Where do you think you should go first? 1. Underground mines.
I think we'll do the underground mines.
2. Cloud fortress. The team teleports to a grove of ash trees in Northern Ireland. Kalmaris explains that this grove is tethered to a nexus of various planes and dimensions, and is the best way of getting the team into Dralog territory. As you decided to infiltrate the underground mine, you feel that stealth might be the best option. Before you left, the team decided that it might be best to set up a base camp in the grove. You cast a camouflage spell on yourself and set out on your own. Walking quickly and keeping to the shadows of the mine, you find a guard Dralog watching over a group of Fae. These Fae look tired. They don't have a bright glow like Kalmari's. What do you decide to do? 1. Cast a sleep spell on the guard. Or 2. Check the guard's aura.
Okay. Uh-oh, I clicked aura.
You trust your gut and check the guard's aura. You see a faint greenish-blue aura, but with a large gray shadow surrounding it. This is not at all what you expected to see. You have never come across this before, but have read about this in one of your textbooks. This guard is being mind-controlled. According to your magical ethics professor, pretty much a no-no. With renewed strength and determination, you send out a burst of magical energy to dissolve the gray mental bindings. When done, the guard slumps down to the ground clutching his head. The Fae rush to the guard to make sure he is okay. You remove your camouflage spell and explain who you are and why you've come. The Fae are relieved to see you, but explain that even the Dralog are captives. They are primitive creatures, and their minds are easily controlled. The plot thickens as you find out there is a greater evil than what you had expected.
Dun, dun, dun.
You lead the captives back to the camp in the grove and explain the situation. It's time to head to the Great Waterfall to discover who is truly behind the evil. This time, the whole team comes along. You have Principal Evans, three powerful professors, and Calmaris at your side. As you approach the Great Waterfall, you find at its base an amazing oasis. There are palm trees, fruits of every kind, and even a few huts that have been built along the water. You don't see anyone out and about, but there are signs of recent activity. What do you do? 1. Investigate a few of the huts. Or 2. Head straight for the Great Waterfall.
I think I'm going to investigate the huts.
You and the team decide to investigate a few of the huts at the base of the waterfall. Their construction is magic-based, with various decorations and trinkets about. You don't find anyone here, but you don't see any signs of a struggle or that anyone left in a hurry. It's just as if they teleported out of here. Which could have been a very real possibility. The only clue you find is a leather-bound book that details the geography of the area. It is handwritten as if it was still a work in progress. As you flip through it, you find a reference to a hidden castle around the Great Waterfall. You relay the information you found to the team. What do you decide to do next? 1. Look for a path to the top of the Great Waterfall. Or 2. Head straight to the Great Waterfall.
I think I'm gonna just head straight in.
The sheer volume of water coming down from the top of the Great Waterfall is immense. Principal Evans states that trying to pass through the waterfall would crush the team. The pounding water would force everyone under the water, and it's hard to tell how dense the wall of water actually is. You smile and sit on a large smooth rock jutting out from the edge of the water. You close your eyes and focus your will. You reach out with your senses and use aquakinesis to shape the water. In your mind's eye, you see the water twist and bend to the right. You also see some of the water twist and bend to the left. When you open your eyes, you see that the massive amount of water has parted and allows you to easily access through where the Great Waterfall used to be. Every single person in your team stares at you in stunned silence. Calmari says she has never seen such power. As you head behind the waterfall with the team, you find a huge castle built into the cliffside.
Oh, there it is.
It's an amazing lesson in architecture and beauty. Unfortunately, it also gives you an ominous feeling. Suddenly, you hear a voice in your head telling you that you are expected. You immediately tell the team to set up camp here and that you will be back shortly. There are some murmurs of concern, but they have seen your powers and abilities firsthand and trust you completely. Using the voice in your head as a guide, you walk right up to the massive portcullis and it raises as you approach. You head into the main area and follow directions you are given until you are in a throne room. It is well lit and very elegant. Slightly elevated is a humanoid figure seated on a golden throne. As you begin to approach, the figure starts to stand. Your instincts kick in. What do you do? 1. Attack with an incredibly powerful combination of earth, wind, water, and fire magics. Or 2. Keep walking forward, preparing to have a conversation. You walk forward, extremely vigilant for any hint of deception or tricks. He explains that his name is Targoth. He was the result of a union between a Dralog and a Fae. He doesn't know his parents, but his birth was foretold and that he was destined to be an evil ruler. He was shunned from both Dralog and Fae communities, and felt as though he could not fight his destiny although he didn't feel any evil in his heart. He truly hoped he would come. That you would be able to look into his soul and know that he was a good person. You stop him there and explain that soul gazing was a myth. It didn't exist. Targoth insists that it's real, but only a select few magicians have the ability to do so. He saw it done 500 years ago between an ancient druidic couple. You get chills. Could it be true? That the druidic couple Targoth saw were your bloodline? Immediately you reach out with telepathy and ask your relatives about this. They are stunned but confirm that it is possible. They explain that it is not something they can teach. A soul gaze must come naturally, almost as an instinct. You explain to Targoth that you are not confident in your ability to soul gaze. If it goes wrong, it could destroy his mind and soul, leaving him just a hollow shell. He says he doesn't care. He needs you to know that he is a good being, just dealt a bad hand. He wants you to be able to vouch for him and he can begin to atone for his mistakes. You take a deep breath. You focus your will and stare into Targoth's eyes. You smile and think that eyes being the window to the soul makes a lot of sense right now. Nothing seems to happen for a long minute. Suddenly there's a connection. You see and feel and experience everything Targoth has ever gone through in his entire life in a split second. And then just as quickly, it's over. Targoth looks as though he has seen a ghost. He's pale and looks like he may vomit. You reach over and steady him. You give a soft smile and reassure him that you know he is a wonderful individual. You give him your word that you will do everything in your power to make sure everyone knows that as well. In time, you are confident he will be accepted. The end. Thank you for participating in this story. Be sure to check back for updates and more options.
So that is a magical day. And one of the cool things about this is it has a lot of options. So, I mean, you could play it again. And I'm assuming that you might get some different outcomes. I don't know how much they change. But I would love to know what you guys think of that. So that is A Magical Day by Kevin Evans and Cole. We can't forget Cole. He is a very important part of this game. So one of the things I enjoyed about this game was the story. It was expansive. You know, obviously it's going to end up at a point, but I did really enjoy that there was a good story going. Obviously, it's more fantasy-based. I do like that it starts off in modern day, obviously traffic and an alarm clock, but transitions to something that is definitely fantasy. I would love to have seen more sound, more music, more ambiance, more environmental work. It's kind of hard with something like this, and it's something that I said in my review during the stream, was that, you know, when you're doing a jam, you only have so much time. And so I would love to see what Kevin does with this. I hope he continues working on it, as I think it's a really cool concept. And I'd like to see where it goes. So again, that is A Magical Day. And that's by Kevin Evans and our pal Cole. Music was a little louder than it should have been at the end. Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things where it can be fixed. A little wordy and... yes, you know, that is one thing I was going to say too. If you had made the characters... And so I played with Fabella a little bit. And I know that you can give characters... You can make characters and assign them different voices. That would have been really cool to give everyone different voices. And actually, I think that would have really sort of added to the project itself. But, you know, one of the cool things is you can always go back and work on that. So that's the cool thing. So as a jam entry, I think it's really cool. And I'm glad that you made it. And I'm glad that you shared it with all of us. And I'm really glad that we... could share it with all of you. Lexi says, I'd rather have a human narrator than a text-to-speech voice. You know, and I agree with that. The problem is that sometimes you can't always do that. And one of the reasons is that you don't have the time or the equipment or the people to narrate. So, you know, one of the cool things about these jams is, and Fabella too, is it lets you create a story and use text-to-speech. And one of the cool things is that Fabella has access to some really cool voices. Azure and Replica are two amazing options. But, let's see. Kevin says, and now I'm blushing. Yeah, no, man, I liked it. I'm really glad that you took the time to do this. And, I mean, it was cool to chat with you on Saturday. And it was really cool, again, to share your project with everybody here on Poptail Weekly. So, I mean, keep up the good work, and I hope that we can revisit this maybe a few months down the line, and there'll, you know, maybe there'll be an updated version with some new stuff. I'd play it again. I think it's really cool. I think it'd be neat to choose some different options next time. So again, that was a magical day. So we're going to take a look at the third place winner, Pet Tales. And this is by William Rongholt and Liam. Wait, what? Liam Rongholt. Wait, that's not my last name. What's going on here? This is an interactive story that is through the eyes of three pets as they go to a contest. It was made by myself, William, and my son, Liam, 8 years old. It's a different Liam. It's an imposter. It's not real. No, I don't know. We worked through the story together. I made it in Fabella, and my son drew pictures for the game. Okay, yeah, okay, it's a different Liam because I'm blind. I can't draw. Okay. Never mind. I do have to get used to the fact that there are other Liams in the world. Everything about Juliana Marchi. I wish it. Kevin says time traveling Liam. Oh, that's scary. You don't want that. Speaking of pets, how's your gacha pet doing? You know, I haven't even checked in on it. I played the game and I immediately forgot about it. I don't know what that says about the game, but I just forgot about it. Sorry, gacha pet. All right, so let's play this game. So this is a shorter game. It's more designed for kids, but this is kind of a cool little game. And one of the reasons I want to share the screen is so I can share the drawings with you. Pet Tales, fun, kid-friendly pet stories.
Which pet would you like to play? Puggy Wuggy, Tough Stuff, Chew Chew, or Perfume?
So we have four aminals. Let's start with Puggy Wuggy, because listen, it's a pug, I'm assuming, and its name is Puggy Wuggy, so that's like the greatest thing ever.
Puggy Wuggy is a cuddly, round, brown and tan pug. He loves laying around watching TV and hanging out with his friend Perfume, a cat from the neighborhood. Would you like to choose Puggy Wuggy?
Yes.
It was a normal lazy lay around on the couch day for Puggy Wuggy. Puggy Wuggy turns on the TV. What will he watch? Food show or cartoons?
I think I'm going to watch a food show.
A show comes on about a cook making food for dogs. In the background, there are dogs sloppily eating their food. While watching the food show, Puggy Wuggy saw a commercial for the Mice and Bones eating contest. Should Puggy Wuggy go to the contest with his best pet friend Perfume or stay home and continue to watch TV all day?
Oh, I think I'm going to go to the contest.
Puggy Wuggy heads out the door to go to the contest and notices Perfume chasing Hanks the neighbor hamster around his yard. Hey, Perfume, I am going to the Mice and Bones contest. Do you want to come along?
I was coming to ask you, so of course, I will come.
Puggy Wuggy gets to the contest with Perfume and immediately starts looking around. Hey, I wonder which one of these dogs would partner up with me.
Sorry, pal, this is an everyone out for themselves contest.
How will Puggy Wuggy try to win? Will he take small bites or eat it fast and sloppy?
Oh, fast and sloppy, of course.
Welcome to the 10th annual Mouse and Bones Eating Contest. The competitors will be timed for 5 minutes, and whoever eats the most in that time wins. We will have prizes for first, second, and third. Everyone else gets a participation bag of goodies from our sponsors. Play fair and eat. The second place winner is Puggy Wuggy. That is the end of Puggy Wuggy's story. If you haven't yet, try out another pet by saying, restart. If you're done playing for now, just say, quit.
Which pet would you like to play? Puggy Wuggy, Tough Stuff, Chew Chew, or Perfume?
Let's go with Chew Chew.
Chew Chew is one chilled-in chihuahua. He loves getting his picture taken and going to beauty pageants. All paparazzi is welcome. Would you like to choose Chichu? Chichu was pleasantly sitting still for his picture to be taken. After it was taken, he was so happy with the picture he hung it up near his favorite napping spot. After a bit of admiring his picture, he went downstairs to get a cup of tea. On the way to the kitchen, the TV was on showing a contest. To Chichu, this was a great photo opportunity. Chichu isn't sure what the contest is about, but he still wants to go. Should Chichu go to get his picture taken or try to win the contest?
Oh, he should go get his picture taken.
After he decided, he wondered if Perfume would like to go, so should Chichu see if Perfume is going or prepare for the contest?
Oh, he needs to prepare.
Chichu went around the house looking for dog bones and food. After he collected it all, he started swallowing whole. After all that, he then threw up it all. He felt much better and was ready.
What?
Chichu heads to the contest, and when he gets there, he is a little surprised to see Perfume, Tough Stuff, and Puggy Wuggy. Chichu talks with Perfume for a bit, but then he heads off to do his own thing. Chichu loves being in contests even when he loses. The best thing about contests is all the cameras.
Welcome to the 10th annual Mouse and Bones Eating Contest. The competitors will be timed for 5 minutes, and whoever eats the most in that time wins. We will have prizes for first, second, and third. Everyone else gets a participation bag of goodies.
I clearly never got that one before.
Play fair and eat. The third place winner is Chichu.
Chichu
won. That is the end of Chichu's story. If you haven't yet, try out another pet by saying restart. If you're done playing for now, just say quit.
I love that there are the drawings, and I love that Scott Chichu has a little alt tagged image there. All right, let's do one more.
Chichu went around the house looking for dog bones and food.
Oh, wait, no.
After he collected it all, he started swallowing whole. After all that, he then threw up it all. He felt much better. And
okay. Which pet would you like to play? Puggy Wuggy, Tough Stuff.
What's the Tough Stuff?
Tough Stuff is a high-energy brown and tan bulldog. He loves to chase squirrels and anyone else that comes close to his house. Robbers beware. Would you like to choose Tough Stuff?
Yes.
Tough Stuff loves guarding his home. Does he look out the front or the back?
Back.
Tough Stuff sees a squirrel in the backyard, barks at it, and chases after it. When the squirrel is out of sight, he goes back inside. Tough Stuff passes the TV and sees that it is on. Does he watch it or look out the front?
I think he's going to watch the TV.
Tough Stuff TS watches a little bit of Dog 10, which is about a dog that has superpowers, and sees a commercial for the Mice and Bones contest. Tough Stuff decides to go to the Mice and Bones contest. Does he prepare for the contest or just go now?
Just go.
On the way to the contest, Tough Stuff practices his victory dance, poses, and grunts. Tough Stuff gets to the contest and immediately brags about how he will win and everyone else should just go home. How should he eat the bones, in large bites or small bites?
Large bites.
Welcome to the 10th annual Mouse and Bones Eating Contest. The competitors will be timed for 5 minutes, and whoever eats the most in that time wins. We will have prizes for first, second, and third. Everyone else gets a participation bag of goodies from our sponsors. Play fair and eat. Tough Stuff goes home with a participation bag of goodies. That is the end of Tough Stuff's story.
Nothing for Tough Stuff.
If you haven't yet, try out another pet by saying, restart. If you're done playing for now, just say, quit.
So that is a cool little... Obviously, you know, it's a little different than maybe some of the stuff that we're used to being more serious or being a little more fantasy-based. But I think it's really fun. And obviously, you know, there is a market for kids' skills. You know, obviously, more and more parents are buying these speakers and more kids, therefore, are having access to them. So I really like that. I think that's fun. And I like that, you know, William, who has done a lot of really cool stuff, worked on it with his son, whose name is Liam. And I think it's cool that we share a name. So other Liam. You know, it was really cool that he got to work with his dad, make something fun, and, you know, hey, I think that's cool. Yeah, Kevin says, good variety of voices. Yeah, I like that he took advantage of the voices that were available. I like that he included imagery. I'm disappointed there were no sounds, but I do appreciate what was done. I would have liked... The one thing I noticed with this is that when you get to the end, it's very abrupt. So it's like the story just stops. So maybe William and Liam could write some more stories for these characters. I'd love to know a little more about them, what they like to do. I'd love to know more about the contest. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. The contest is... So what I'm assuming happened is they either ran out of time or ran out of story. So maybe they didn't write the contests. Maybe they were low on time. In a game jam, you only have so much time to build. So everything about Juliana Marshi said, I like that. I'm a pet lover. Yeah, and I think anyone that likes pets... is going to enjoy that. I like that there's drawings. That's cool that other Liam, made those. And, I have to say, like, I mean, those are your three winners, but honestly, there's a lot of other really cool games in here. There's a game that's designed to help you learn English. There's a really interesting game called Shaping, which technically the character's name is Shopping. It's kind of clever. There's some other really cool games in here that I think are neat, and it's really cool seeing what people are building with Fabella. And it'll be cool when we have a game jam a year from now, because I think we're going to do this again next year. I cannot wait to see what people build when this thing is out in the wild for a year and people can really design some stuff. I think that's going to be exciting. And hopefully our participants from this year will make new things for next year. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Kevin and Cole. I hope that we have new things. I'd love to see what people come up with. I think it's really cool. And who knows? I mean, I think, in a year, the engine's going to really grow and what we can do with it and what is doable is going to be amazing. Kevin says amazing potential. It really is. And I mean, the engine's in an alpha state. And so seeing it, build is cool. So listen, we have kind of come to the end of the evening. I do want to thank you guys, though, for joining me. I do not know if there will be another episode before the end of the year. If there is not, I want to wish you all a happy new year. If there is, then I hope you join me for that episode. Please check out the playlist that I link in every video, because you can go back and watch a lot of really cool reviews. And you can kind of watch this project sort of like evolve. You can kind of see the first episode and see how I've gotten better and better at doing this. And, I've really, I feel like I've loosened up a lot. So please check that out. We will be doing many, many more skills next year. I cannot wait to show you some of the stuff that, Poptail and Wanderword are working on. There's going to be some really cool stuff coming down the pipeline. If you guys haven't seen it yet, the trailer for the Bard's Tale game was posted, I believe. I hope it was, because I am telling you about it, but I thought I saw a thing that said they posted it. So I believe it is in the wild. Please go watch it. The Bard's Tale game is going to be incredibly cool, and I don't know when that's coming out, but I'm hoping soon. They are working on a lot of other really cool stuff that I just can't talk about because, I like having a job. So, but... the best way to find out everything that's going on, poptale.com, poptale.com. Follow us on social media. Twitter is Poptale Social. We are also on Facebook, Poptale on Facebook. And follow me on Twitter, Liam Ervin, LIAMERVEN. And let me know that you found this through Poptail Weekly. Let me know what you like. Let me know what skills you like. Let me know what skills you don't like. Maybe there's a skill you think I should review. Maybe there's a skill that you don't agree with my review of and think I should go back and do it again. I'd love to hear from you. Comments and questions and feedback and everything. Keep these things going. Why don't you make something? I'm going to kind of sugarcoat this a little bit because I don't want to, I'm really big on Fabella. We're currently trying to work on accessibility at the moment. It's not something that is usable with a screen reader, but I've been chatting to the Fabella folks, and we are working on it. So it's one reason why I didn't make anything this year. I'm hoping by next year I will be able to participate. Obviously, I can't, you know, participate in a jam to win something because I'm sort of working for the company. But I still want to make something. I still want to make a lot of somethings. So, yeah, take care, Kevin. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. Give Cole some pats for us. Let him know that we appreciate him, even though, you know, he didn't tune in. Well, maybe he did. Was he there with you? Maybe he was there. So maybe Cole still tuned in. But I want to thank you guys for being here. Have a wonderful holiday. If I don't see you before next year, have a wonderful new year. And we'll be back soon with more Poptail Weekly. As always, good night and goodbye. And happy Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. And am I missing any other ones? I don't know. Festivus? So happy holidays, everyone. I'll see you again soon. Good night and goodbye.